Samuel chapter 29. I didn't ask the pastor what time you guys normally let out, and I'm not going to ask him.
About 3:00.
Yeah, and he's going to tell me anyway, right? Oh, he's got a football game to watch, I guess. I have a question. How many of you are rooting for the New England Patriots? Sit down. How many of you are rooting for the Denver Broncos? Okay. Third question. How many of you...
Let's pray.
How many of you are rooting against the New England Patriots? He's leaving. He's gone.
How many of you Christ is preempting your life?
All right, it's always fun to dislike the. I was in a meeting last week, and I mentioned that I was a Steeler fan, and there were two Steeler fans. One of them had Steeler garb on, and I mentioned that I was a Steeler fan, and I mentioned that they were going to lose, and then I said, "So all of you hate me except two, because people typically hate Steeler fans." So whatever, right? As if that's important, right? 1 Samuel chapter 29, battling with the Philistines. Battling with the Philistines. You come to chapter 29 and you find David, King David, in a very peculiar circumstance, a very unusual situation. This is, mind you, after David had slain Goliath. This is after David had been anointed king of Israel. This is after David had played the harp for Saul, after he had became very good friends with his son Jonathan. This is after David was chased away from his own kingdom, the one that he had the right to rule. Chased away as Saul tried to take his life on more than one occasion. This is much after the time where David had fought battle after battle, had conquered Philistines, had conquered others in the land that were godless. God used the hand of David to judge the nation of the nations that were in the land of Israel. And here we come to a situation where David finds himself in a very peculiar, unusual situation, very awkward situation, as he is battling not against the Philistines, he's battling with the Philistines. If you go back a few chapters, you get to the end of chapter 26, and we find the second time where David had he had the ability to take the life of Saul and take the throne, and he chose not to. Do you remember he and his man went down into where they were sleeping, and they had the ability to take Saul's life. And David said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." He says to his man there, he says, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Let the Lord deal with him. The Lord will take him out of his kingdom when the Lord sees fit." And we find at the end of chapter 26, Saul saying to David, "David, my son, I've sinned." He says, "Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day." In verse 21, chapter 26. "Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." And David shows the king's spear, and you move on, and David goes on, and you go down to chapter 27, you find out that David escapes. Saul was pursuing David. Saul was trying to kill David. David is able to escape out of the hand of the Lord. David approached with, I believe, Abishai into the camp of Saul and got away untouched, unharmed. And after this, after Saul realizes the grace and mercy that David showed, Saul takes his army and he never pursues David again. And he tells David that he would never pursue him again. Now you get to verse 1 and chapter 27, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more at any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Saul, David's lack of faith brings him to the point where instead of staying in the center of God's will, he allows fear of man to defeat him and to take him into a place that he had no business being in, the land of the Philistines. We know that in Scripture, Philistines again and again and again is a representation of the world. It is a representation of sin. You have David here who, because of a lack of faith, makes a decision to go into a place of sin. Can I remind you that any time you make a decision out of fear, it is almost always going to be the wrong decision. And not only did he make a decision based in fear, but then he went on, and the decision that he made was most certainly a decision of sin. And you think about this. Think about what David went through. Rehearse in your mind the great victories that God had shown David. David again and again, I mean, he, as a shepherd boy, not a mighty warrior, but as a shepherd boy, said, I believe in the King of Israel. I believe that the King of Israel will avenge the name of our God. And he slew the giant. The giant that no one else in the kingdom of Israel had the guts to go after. I should say, not the guts, the faith in God to go after. And you see David again and again and again. He's delivered out of the hand of Saul. You can find in many of his psalms and how he is trusting in the Lord and how he has a very intimate relationship with the Lord. An intimate relationship that I think any and every one of us would desire to have, would be jealous of, would desire to have in each and every moment of our lives. And David, this mighty man, this mighty poet, this man with this sensitive side to the Lord God Almighty, is also a mighty warrior, bar none. You understand that David had surrounding to him and flocking to him mighty men. These guys did heroic things. And for David to lead such men of strength, such men of valor, he had to be a man of strength and a man of valor himself. He had to be a man among men. A very brave man. A man of truth, a man of integrity, a man of faith. A man who saw God fight his battles again and again and again. This man, David, sees God fight his battle. He sees God deliver him from the hand of Saul. And then he turns around after this great victory, weakened with fear, lacking faith, makes a decision. Makes a decision with many dire consequences. Makes a decision to allow himself to go into the land of the Philistines. The Philistines, that representation of sin, of evil, of the world. It's interesting that God, through miracle after miracle, had saved him time and time again, yet weighing the pressure for years wore him down to go out of the will of God by going into the land of the Philistines. It is amazing that in our Christian lives, after the greatest victories, you're going to find the greatest temptation to sway away from the Lord. And so I caution you, Christian, when you make a big decision for God, when you see God do something great in your life and you're up on that high cloud, understand that Satan with his darts are coming after you. You just mark it down as a guaranteed thing. And if you're prepared for that, if you understand that it is coming your way, you're much less likely to make the kind of mistake that David made when he went into the land of the Philistines. In chapter 27, David makes friends with a man named Ziklag, who is a prince of the Philistines. And in verse 6, it says, then Achish gave him Ziklag. I'm sorry, Ziklag is the town. Achish is the ruler that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. However, at that time, this man Achish gives David a city. This is a city that is occupied by the Philistines. So David then becomes servant and servant to the lords of the Philistines. He is the king, the anointed king of the greatest country, of the apple of God's eye. He's just biding his time to ascend to the throne. And he submits himself for protection under the lords of the Philistines. And this lord of the Philistines gives him a town. This Ziklag is indeed a city of Israel on the border. But seeing that it was this Philistine's lord to give, it must have been occupied and ruled by the Philistines. So David takes his mighty men. He takes his family and the families of his mighty men. This great leader, David, who is a man after God's own heart, takes his wives, his men, their wives, their children to dwell with the Philistines. All out of a matter of a lack of faith. In 1 Chronicles, we understand that during this time, there were many mighty men, many additional mighty men that came to David. And David spent his time fighting against other nations. And his fighting against other nations required him to lie and misrepresent to Achish what he had been about doing. Then we get to verse chapter 29. You're in 1 Samuel chapter 29, say amen. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Picture this scene. In the battle of Jezreel, you have David and his mighty men in the very back of the army of the Philistines. You have the battle lines drawn. You have Israel on one side. Israel with Saul. Israel with David's brethren. Israel with the people that David would have grown up with. Israel with the people that would have been friends of David. You have the battle line drawn. On the other side are all the Philistines. Hundreds and hundreds and then thousands and thousands passing on before David. David sees these men. He sees these men marching. He sees these men marching, no doubt with the intention to kill each and every Israelite. Here are the lords of the Philistines. Here's David in the very back of the army. This man Achish had become friends with David. David had become friends with the Lord, a lord of the Philistines. Picture this scene in your mind. And the verse 3 then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day? And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him. And let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? It's very interesting that oftentimes it is the world that has to tell the Christian that he's on the wrong side of the battle. When there was a period of my life where I was saved, but I spent a lot of years in sin. And in my repentance, as I was casting off all of the things that I did before, all of the music that I listened to, I had a friend who asked me, so you're not going to listen to these things anymore? What is it that you're going to listen to? Are you going to listen to Christian rock? And I said, no, I don't think that that would be pleasing to the Lord. They said, yeah, I never understood that. It's like you have rock and roll, which represents rebellion, which represents everything that's against God and what the Bible stands for. This is a man that was very ignorant of Scripture, mind you. And then you take that and you mix with the Christian words. It just doesn't make sense. Amen. It just doesn't go together. That man that does not know the Bible somehow has a whole lot more spiritual understanding than a lot of Christians that we see surrounding us. It is a shame and a folly to us whenever unsaved people have to point their fingers and say to us, is that what a Christian does? Aren't you a Christian? Do Christians do that? Should you do that since you're a Christian? In verse 6, we find a conversation that takes place between Achish and David. Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight, but I have not found evil in thee this day, since the day of thy coming unto me, unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. In other words, he's saying, hey, listen, David, you're my friend. You've always been loyal to me. If he really knew, he would understand that David had lied many times to him. Make no mistake about it, folks. I'm talking about David. David was not what we would call today, in the history of his life, a carnal Christian. This is a mighty man of God. This is a man who led many men. This is a man who penned many of our psalms. This is a man who had a heart after, had a love and a heart so high for God that he's titled as the man after God's own heart. And the reason I mentioned that is to help you to understand that this is a situation that each and every one of us could find ourselves in, where we are lined up in battle against our own brothers and sisters. Battling with the Philistines. Some would say that David would have fought against the Philistines. He would have slain the Philistines. He would have just stayed in the back, and maybe he wouldn't have fought against the Israelites. I don't know. Maybe he would have. Maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe he would have turned against his own brothers and sisters, and maybe he would have, maybe he would. I don't know. All that I know is that David, and all that Scripture tells us, is that David was assuming to take up arms against his own people. That's all we know. That's all Scripture tells us. All we know is that David was in an extremely awkward situation, an extremely unusual situation, a situation that many Christians find themselves in right now as we sit here, as we speak. A situation where they are lined up. There is a battle going on, folks. Do you understand that this is Christian warfare? That there is a battle going on for the minds of your children, for your mind, for your wife's mind, ladies, to your husband's mind. There is a battle going on to conquer Christians. And this is a spiritual battle, way vast and way more important than what we see in this battle in the Valley of Jezreel. Way more important with eternal implications. I think Satan loves to rock us to sleep. And some of you just woke up. Satan wants to convince you that your actions and what you do in the privacy of your own home, and in other cases, in the privacy of your own mind and your heart, are not really that big of a deal. That they don't weigh in the battle of Jesus Christ versus Satan's kingdom. Because that's what this is all about, my brothers and sisters. This is all about a common victory for Lord and King Jesus. And you have the option, as a Christian, you have the option to line yourself up on the winning side with all spiritual power, fighting the work that God wants you to fight, or you have the option of blurring the battle lines, as many Christians do, saying, this is the battle line, and I'm going to have 1 foot over here, and 1 foot over here, 1 foot on the Lord Jesus Christ's side, the winning side, and I'm going to taste a little bit of what the Philistines have to offer. I don't know what drove you, Christian, to that point. Maybe some of you have taken this foot from the side of Christ and put both feet, in the battle on the side of the Philistines. Maybe you were driven there out of fear, like David. I do know this, that at one time David said, I hated the congregation of the evildoers, and now he was among them. It is very hard to be a Hebrew, as David was, and to be comfortable in the congregation of the Philistines. It is very hard for David to feel comfortable on this side of the battlefield, understanding that everybody around him would love to see him fall, understanding that everybody around him would love to see his destruction. So what are these Philistines in your life? I think for many of us, it is pleasure. We live in a generation that is just inundated with pleasure. We don't have to look to find something to do. We have to look and be intentioned to find something to do that's worthwhile, but we don't have to go and intend ourselves to be in pleasure. We are living in the United States of America, the land of pleasure. And there is nothing wrong with pleasure. But there is something wrong with many kinds of pleasures that Christians find themselves engaged in. Preacher preached about it this morning. I mentioned it this morning. When God says that you ought not to even talk about those things that others do in private. Those things that are shameful, those things that are sensual, those things that are sinful. Yeah, we find many Christians, they turn on their TV shows, and those things come on their TV shows, and they never bother to turn it off. And so, whose side of the battle are you on? I want you to understand, folks, we are in a battle. A battle that you are supposed to be fighting right now. But many of us have been rocked asleep. We don't see it as a battle, and we don't see that what we do in this life, whether it goes inside of our own hearts, whether it's within our own homes, whether it's within our own families, we so often fail to see that it affects your brothers and your sisters, it affects your pastor, it affects your family, it affects everyone that is involved with you. How so? Listen, you can't infect your mind with some of the TV shows that you might watch that have sin in them, that have shameful sin in them. You can't infect your mind with that and then right after that go and be a soul winner, an effective soul winner. You can't infect your mind with that and at the same time be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can't do that. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible says that love of the world is enmity against God. So do you understand, Christian, that when you love the things of the Philistines, the pleasure and the worldly amusements of the Philistines, when you do that, what you do is saying, I am aligning myself as an enemy of God. It's black and white, folks. There's no middle ground. You can't stand with one foot on one side of the battle line and the other foot on the other side of the battle line and not expect to get trampled over in this life. And so many Christians are holding on to the things of the Philistines, and they want the things of the church, and they're holding on to the things of the church. They come to church, you come Sunday morning, you come Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, you come Wednesday, you go out soul winning, but then you're still grasping the things of the Philistines. Pleasure, knowledge. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. But there is a knowledge that exalts itself against the authority of God. And when you use knowledge that kills your faith, then there is a very big problem, folks. Skepticism. You look at the Bible, you read it, it says what it says, and you say, well, no, that can't be. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense that if I tithe and give to the Lord, my faith promised, then the Lord will give back to me. How could he do that? Skepticism is an enemy of God. And when you engage in that kind of thought, when you engage in that kind of thinking, then you're at enmity with God. You've aligned yourself, just like David, on the side of the Philistines, on the wrong side of the battle lines. Impure doctrine. Impure doctrine. Formalism. Worried about the outside, yet within, as Jesus said, are dead men's bones. Within is evil and wickedness, but we're just worried about what other people think of us. And it is amazing that it is the lords of the Philistines who said, what do these Hebrews hear? Ask the Philistines that question. regarding David before David ever asked that question of himself. So, dear Christian, what are you doing on the wrong side of the battlefield? Why have you aligned yourself up with the things of the world? Why have you aligned yourself up with the things of Satan and his kingdom? I know that this example, for some of you, seems very extreme. Brother Pratt, if I do sin, if I enjoy pleasure, if I do this, I mean, it's not like I'm against God. I mean, I'm all for God. Even if I sin, I'm all for God. That's not the point, Brother Pratt. But you see, the Bible says differently. It says that the love of the world is enmity with God. It says that when you love the world, you are an enemy of God. When you worship the things and the gods that the Philistines worship, the flesh and formalism and pleasure, when you engage yourself in impure doctrine, when you take upon yourself and weigh more credence to the philosophies of the world than what the Bible says, when you take Scripture and look at it through the lenses of the world and the lenses of psychology and sociology and try to analyze and interpret everything through your own humanistic worldview, this is siding with the Philistines. As we move into chapter 30, as we're closing up here, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. This city that David was given to rule, this city of the Philistines, this city that he should have never been in the first place, had been burnt with fire and everything in it was taken. That includes their wives and their children. You see, if David would have never went into the land of the Philistines, he would have never had to worry about this problem. If he would have never allowed his guard to come down, if he would have never allowed his fear to defeat him, if he would have never became weak in faith, he would have never found himself in the position where not only was he ruling a city of the Philistines, but he was lined up against his own brothers and sisters. And now the result is David is asked to leave. He suffers the embarrassment of leaving. He gets back to the city and everything is destroyed. All of their children and their wives, every single one of them are gone. All of their possessions are gone. And if we read on, we find out that David's mighty men, the men who swore allegiance to David so much so that they were willing to go and get a cup of water from the wells of Bethlehem at risk of their own lives, love that man so much at this point they turn against David and they want to kill him. Man, you lead your families. And you lead your families out of fear. You mix yourself with the world. You begin to join hands with the Philistines. Maybe one hand with the Philistines and one hand with the church. And you're going to find that everything that you tried to hold together is one day going to fall apart. That is no kind of leadership. You're going to find that your children will turn against the things that you taught them to. You're going to find that your wife is not going to respect you as a spiritual leader. If you don't stay and dwell with God's people, doing God's things God's way. So we read on here, we find that after they threaten to kill David, Verse 6, it says in chapter 30, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." May I remind you that, I don't know that I said this, but that during this time that David is in the land of the Philistines, not one psalm was written. David dwelled in the land of the Philistines. There was no fellowship with God during that time because he was in sin. And then in this moment, when everything caves in, when everything falls in, David finds himself turning to no other place but the Lord God Almighty. Brothers and sisters, when you find life gives you a snowfall of problem after problem, and you have no friend in the world, understand that you always have a friend in God. He's always there to help you in your time of need. Find that David, this broken man, he finds his strength in the Lord. He becomes strengthened, and he says, "Hey, let's go and get our stuff, man." David leads his men, they chase the Amalekites, and they get everything back. Not one child was harmed, not one wife was harmed, and every single possession they were able to get back. You see, my brothers and sisters, you may find yourself this afternoon and some of the things that you involve yourself in and some of the processes, the thought processes that go on in your mind, the things that you love, the things that take precedence and preeminence over God. You may find yourself in that position and never realize before that when you do so, you are lining yourself up against God and your brothers and sisters sitting around you. When you line yourself up with the Philistines, you're lining yourself up against your pastor. When you line yourself up against the Philistines, against God, you line yourself up against your own family. And eventually you're going to find that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is always destruction in your life. But understand that just like David, you have a God who will always forgive you. Always forgive you when you take yourself out of the ranks of the Philistines and say, "No longer am I going to fight on this side, no longer am I going to straddle the fence, but I am going to go all out for Jesus." And we have too many Christians that in this day and age, in this great battle that we fight, are afraid to go all out for Jesus. They're afraid of what others might think of them. They're afraid of what their parents might think of them. They're afraid of what their wives, their husbands, their children, their peers, maybe even your own brothers and sisters, because you don't want to be looked at as a Christian fanatic. My brothers and sisters, we need more souls sold out to God and says, "I am all out, lined up for battle against the wicked one." And I might look a bit strange, but so what? I'm going to stand on the winning side of the battle anyway, and with all of my might for the rest of my days, I am going to fight this battle. No longer allowing myself to be friends with the world and the things that are within the world, but just staying on the right side of the battle. Fighting with my brothers and sisters, fighting on the side of my pastor. Pastor.
I'd like to do a little something unusual for the invitation, if we could. Brother Bryce, could you get that track ready? Miss Robin, would you come up here and sing that song again? Now, I don't know if you caught that. He talked about how David made a conscious choice to walk into the land of the Philistines. Where will your footsteps take you? Where will your footsteps take you? You know, the truth is, young people, they could take you into the land of the Philistines like that. Why? Because David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, he ended up in the land of the Philistines. Or you can decide, you know what? My footsteps are going to take me to where God. No man can serve two masters. We can't straddle the fence. If we think we're serving two masters, we're serving the opposite one of God. Huh? And so, Miss Robin, I'd like you to sing that song for invitation, if you could. Amen. You got all the words there. And
the ones I missed.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. Well, I'd like you to go ahead, and as soon as you're ready there, Bryce, just go ahead and hit it. I tell you what we'll do is we'll stay seated, but if you'd like to come to join me at the altar, amen. Tremendous message. Where will your footsteps take you?